Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Saturday, folks, it's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side and another wild, wild, wild week. So what else is new? Well, I have a lot to go over with you this morning. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff that nobody else is talking about. Gee, how new is that? Imagine that. That's what we do. We're going to have our historical story. Very apropos for today's current events, as you'll see. We're going to have one pundit's outlook on Trump and the election, and I'm going to give you a little stuff. There's this one study that hasn't been wrong except once in 40 years, and what it projects for the 2020 election, and blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to reinforce for you the four key things that need to happen for Donald Trump to get reelected, and one of these socialist loonies not to be elected. We're going to tell you about what Judicial Watch is doing just in the last 2 weeks. I mean, just amazing stuff. You haven't heard anything about this. These guys are unbelievable. Send them money. They are 1,000 times more effective than the most effective people in Congress, which is pathetic, but, you know, it is what it is. And we're going to talk about, I've been promising this for 3 weeks, we've had so much going on, we're going to talk about voter fraud, and we're going to begin to talk about what you can do about it. Next week I'm going to kind of extrapolate on that, give you details so you can get involved. And this is the time to get involved, folks, a year before the election. And this is a big election. Whether you like him or not, Donald Trump's policies, 99% of them anyway, are terrific for this country, for your family, for your pocketbook, for your property, and for your freedoms. The alternative is not an alternative. I don't know how many of you saw the Democratic debate. I could tune in for about 5 minutes at a time and then had to go retch in the nearest bathroom. So I'm not going to tell you I listened to the whole thing because I just can't submit myself to that torture. Even for all you listeners whom I love, I just can't do it. It's just unbelievable. We're going to talk a little bit about the Looney Tunes stuff that they had, probably some of the stuff you haven't heard, and the price tags, which none of them, not a single one of them, can explain where it's coming from. Except, of course, modern monetary theory. You just print it. We talked about that last week. If you didn't listen to last week's show, listen to it. And I've talked about modern monetary theory, MMT, several times, because this is where these loons are coming from. And they are loons, you know. Not only that, they believe their own BS, which is really dangerous. I mean, really dangerous. The only thing that's more dangerous than somebody who doesn't know is somebody who doesn't know who thinks they do, if you know what I mean. You've all run into them. So that's going to be our show, but we're going to have all sorts of little interesting ditties throughout it that are kind of salient to, attached to, relevant to the major segments, but I'm just not going to list them all here at the front end of the show. So let's get started. The historical story for this morning, because it's on the Right Side Radio, and since we love history, we are going to start, as always, with our historical story. And this is 1860 in the United States of America, a hotly contested election, an election that would determine the future course of the country. Does this sound familiar? Yes. Douglas versus Lincoln. or Lincoln versus Douglas. So this was a very divisive presidential campaign, as you can imagine. The issues were states' rights, North versus South, states versus the federal government, and of course slavery. To some degree, economic jealousy. Remember, all wars are economic, between the South and the North. The South being the rural, kind of agricultural, non-industrial half of the country. The North, of course, being the more populous and, for 1860, heavily industrialized part of the country and having most of the wealth of the country. Anyway, the candidate, Abraham Lincoln, and Douglas, by the way, were both searching desperately for any little edge they could get to put them over the top. And one day, in fact, on October 16th, 1860, to be exact, one of the candidates got a great piece of campaign advice from a non-political source. It was a letter from a young girl. Her name was Grace Bedell, B-E-D-E-L-L. And she suggested that the Republican nominee, Abraham Lincoln, needed to look more presidential. He looked too young, too gangly. And her suggestion was grow a beard. Quote from her letter, "All the ladies like whiskers, and they will tease their husbands to vote for you, and then you would be president," unquote. Well, the candidate, Abraham Lincoln, loved the idea, loved it. And he grew a beard, and he carried her letter, just a really interesting little historical tidbit, for the rest of his life, including the day he was assassinated. Pretty interesting. Anyway, the beard worked, or something worked, and Lincoln won a, well, I wouldn't call it a smashing victory. You know, he lost the popular vote and won the Electoral College. Gee, huh, what, has that ever happened before? Anyway, I think that is a very apropos little ditty for this morning. Now, that brings us right into a gentleman by the name of Richard. And, you know, I read his stuff all the time, and I always get him confused with Richard Viguerie, who's a conservative pundit. Anyway, it doesn't really matter who the guy is. Oh, Valliere. There we go. Valliere. V-A-L-L-I-E-R-E. Most of the times I find his columns annoying, but every once in a while there's a tidbit. Every once in a while, there's a nugget, and every once in a while, he kind of makes sense overall. Heaven forbid. Anyway, what he says in his October 18th newsletter, the economy is good, but there's one big problem. And he travels around, particularly in October, to try and get a sense of the country. At least he does that. You know, most of these pundits, most of these beltway people, these big city media gag me liars, fake news folks, they don't do any of that because really they couldn't care less and they're so out of touch. It doesn't matter. The biggest problem he found with the economy is that companies can't find enough workers. And their really fearful rivals will rip off their workforce. And all of the business leaders he talked to, this is really interesting, to a person, want more immigration. Maybe that's why the Chamber of Commerce is fighting the wall and fighting stemming illegal immigration. What do you think? The almighty dollar. Sacrifice America on the altar of the dollar. Kind of like the NBA has done with Red China. And Apple, and Google, and the rest of them, you know. And I can go on down the list. And then Rick's Sporting Goods. I was going to talk about this last show, but I didn't. So Rick's Sporting Goods has now, they're not selling any firearms, and their CEO, who just so happens to be coming out with a book. Gee, publicity, book sales, screw his shareholders, violate the Second Amendment? Well, who cares? I mean, he'll sell more books and make more money. Anyway, he wanted to be really politically correct and kind of give a bunch of news, create a little excitement and controversy for his book. So they took $5 million of weapons, which they're not selling, and they destroyed them. They didn't give them to the army. They didn't give them to the military. They didn't donate them to some outfit that could teach people how to shoot and about firearms to make it safer. They just destroyed them and then made a big hoopla and press release, etc. This is the kind of corporate mindlessness. And what you see with Google helping the Red Chinese military and intelligence services throw tens of millions of people in the concentration camps in Red China. Corporate America has gone off the rails, folks. And they have, in many ways, allied themselves with the Democrats, which is dangerous, particularly big tech. And I've talked about that before, too. In any event, Valliere talks about the business leaders wanting immigration. And then the tariff wars, you know, the trade wars. His viewpoint after his travels was that nobody likes the Chinese other than the NBA, Apple, and Google. And small business particularly was nervous about the outcome, the final outcome of the trade talks, and they therefore were not expanding. The same with manufacturing. And that was one of the reasons that the manufacturing index has dropped below 50. Above 50, manufacturers doing good, manufacturing is expanding. Below 50, it is contracting. He blames this all on the trade wars. My response is, of course, if you don't fight that battle now, you may never win it, because America will be second fiddle. And we've talked about this many times. China imports 120, give or take, billion dollars worth of American stuff, and America imports, give or take, $500 billion worth of Chinese stuff. And in a trade war that is fought with tariffs, he who imports least or exports least is hurt least. And America exports to China only 20% of what China exports to America. In the future, that would change, perhaps. The time to fight that battle was 30 years ago, but we had gutless presidents who were on the take, like Joe Biden. And it didn't happen. But it is happening now with Trump. Then he talks about Uncle Joe, Sleepy Joe. He talks about the fact that people are mistaken if they think that Joe has lost a step. And he talks about how many people love him out there in, you know, flyover Democratic country, so to speak. Now, many of the places he visited were blue places, just so that you know, because that's pretty much what he is. He also says that there's a lot of apprehension about Elizabeth Warren and that she has peaked. She is unlikely to gain further traction. And if you saw her interviews, as a little sidelight, over the course of this week, she got hammered by four or five really left-leaning, very liberal, progressive, in fact, news people. And I mean big names. And they kept asking her, how are you going to pay for Medicare for all? How are you going to pay for Medicare? I mean, they asked her time and time and time again, and they made it a point to say she was not answering. And, of course, she never answered, because Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for all plan would cost something like $72 trillion over, like, 10 years. That's $7.2 trillion a year. The federal government will only raise $42 trillion, this is according to the IRS, $42 trillion in the same time period, which leaves a 30 trillion-dollar hole. And these commentators kept asking, are you going to raise taxes? Are you going to raise taxes? Well, obviously she's going to raise taxes. And obviously she's going to print money like a sieve. We all know how that doesn't have a happy ending. Very interesting. Very interesting. And by the way, every one of those loonies, with the exception of Gabby from Hawaii, whom I've always kind of liked, veteran. And by the way, when I say like, it's a relative thing. She's a Democrat. given almost any other alternative, I wouldn't vote for her. But if it was she running against any of the others, she'd have my vote in a heartbeat. And I'll tell you another little interesting tidbit on that. Being a, at least in this field, moderate, quote unquote, that is like not alt-left Karl Marx communist, she got all over the other candidates of this debate and called them up and down every which way but Sunday. Questioned their math, questioned their motives, questioned their thoughts. And Hillary Clinton then jumped in the deal over the course of the week. You probably didn't hear this. And she, Hillary Clinton, of all people, who paid for the dirty Russian dossier, who was in cahoots with Ukraine, who was in cahoots with just about every foreign country on the face of the planet, who was shoveling tens of millions of dollars into her foundation, you know, and paying her husband $500,000 for a one-hour speech in Russia, no less. She accuses Gabby of being a Russian agent. I'm not making this up. She accuses her, this is like on national TV, she accuses her of being groomed by the Russians to interfere in the upcoming, in the upcoming 2020 election. And if by no other way than because they were grooming her and they're going to finance her and they're going to support her with those nasty technical bots, you know, those Russian fake sites and all this kind of, I mean, Hillary Clinton is like off the deep end. But anyway, so the Russians are going to get Gabby to run as a third-party candidate to siphon votes away from the Democratic candidate so that Donald Trump can win again. I mean, wow. I mean, just particularly from her. I mean, just wow. Anyway, Gabby Gifford, she's no shrinking violet, being an Army vet. She's tough lady. With by the way, a few good ideas, which unfortunately are completely overshadowed by her bad ideas. But she got back in Hillary's face, and she called her on Twitter and publicly speaking. She called her symbolic of the rot of the Democratic Party. I love that. First of all, Gabby is exactly right. And number two, I love to see the Democrats fighting amongst themselves like this. It really warms the cockles of my heart. Oh, yes. And not that the Republicans are all in lockstep. Right, Mitt Romney? I mean, you know, Mitt Romney is kind of like the Republican Party's Hillary Clinton. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Anyway, back to Valliere. So Valliere is traveling around the country. He has decided that most people he speaks to are cautious about the markets, like the stock market, etc. He believes that Trump has slipped amongst two key voting blocks, the saver class, which he says are mostly senior citizens who want higher interest rates, not lower interest rates, because they're looking for better returns for the retirement nest eggs. And the other voting block, which according to Valliere, has turned against Trump, are veterans. Because veterans are aghast, I'm using his words, that he abandoned an ally, the Kurds, that fought shoulder to shoulder with us against ISIS. Now, last week I talked about this. I really do think that was a mistake by Trump. I stand to be corrected. I would love to be corrected. If this so-called ceasefire that Pence supposedly negotiated with Erdogan, who can't be trusted as far as you could throw him, If it holds and something actually develops and the Kurds pull back everything 20 miles south of the Syrian border and the Turks stop shelling and bombing in them, then, you know, I'll eat my words and gladly. But this was the first day of the ceasefire, or yesterday was the first day of the ceasefire, Friday, and the Turks had already broken it. So, you know, Erdogan ain't our friend. You know, he's in NATO only because strategically it's better to have a quasi or overt enemy in your camp, I suppose, than that same enemy in the camp of Russia and China, you know, the other part of the world. But in any event, so he says that Valier says that veterans are not going to vote for Trump because of what he did in pulling troops out of Syria. You know, I don't think that's, can't quite go with that. I want to talk a little bit about international. There's some things that have not, you probably don't know. Canada is having a huge election here in the next few weeks. Trudeau, whom I think is just ghastly. I mean, pretty boy, PC, globalist, alt-left, lying. I mean, he is everything an American progressive is, plus some. And he was like the darling of Canada. Not of the Western provinces. As many of you may know, we had ranches up there for many years. And I love Canada. I really do. I love the country. I love the people. Canada's just terrific. But I will tell you that Trudeau was like viewed with total disgust by most of Alberta and British Columbia, with the exception of, obviously, Vancouver, the big city of British Columbia. Although the big city of Alberta, Calgary, I mean, you know, that was kind of like Houston voting for Beto O'Rourke, if you can kind of, you know, not going to happen. The election up there is between a conservative, at least by Canadian standards, candidate, and pretty boy Trudeau, he's been faced with all sorts of scandals here. You know, he had blackface on three times when he was in high school and all this nonsense. And Trudeau's probably going to lose. One of two things are going to happen unless there's a miracle for Trudeau. Either nobody's going to get more than 50% of the vote, which means they're going to have to cobble together a government. It's kind of like Israel's government, a parliament. And that's going to give a lot of power to the two smaller parties. The Green Party, who are kind of alt-left, and then I'll call them the Social Democrats. They're called something else. But they're kind of just left to center. And so the government in Canada is going to remain, in this scenario, at least tilting left, whereas under Trudeau it's been alt-left. In any event, there is a populist movement afoot in Canada, just like there is in the rest of the world, Ireland, Italy, Spain, France, you name it. And it's been spurred, yes, by Donald Trump's election and by Brexit, which brings us to another international event. The new prime minister, the conservative and bulldog prime minister, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a modern day Winston Churchill, except that his enemy is the globalists rather than the Nazis. Theresa May, who I never liked, as any of you who've been listening to my show for any period of time knows, she was a total toad, a complete globalist, a PC, gag me, for the world and against the UK politician. She was really the Obama of the UK. And under her, you know, they had this huge Muslim and refugee influx, all sorts of violations and stripping of British folks' rights. I mean, Theresa May was gag me. It took Theresa May 3 years to not get a Brexit deal done. Boris baby has been in office for 3 months, and they are actually having a vote on a Brexit deal, and he has actually made a deal with the EU to break Britain out of the European Common Union, and he's done it in 3 months. Well, Theresa May, the globalist, could not do in 3 years, or maybe we should say pretended to try and do but didn't really want to get done. Anyway, it's kind of like Donald Trump, right? Obama promised things for 8 years. Donald Trump walks into the office and gets them and never got them done. Donald Trump walks into office and gets them done in 60 days. Do you see a pattern here? In any event, the next few months could be really, really, really big ones for both the globalists and we'll call them the national populists. And if things really go well, Trudeau loses. The UN is further defunded by some of the countries like the UK and the US. The World Trade Organization continues to start ruling, as it has just in the past few months, in favor of the United States and certain other Western countries against, I'll call them, criminals of trade practice like China, which they've never done in the past. If Brexit occurs, this is really big stuff for national populism. And a really, really big defeat for globalism. So keep your eyes on all those bouncing balls, because if they tip our way, that is the anti-globalist, pro-sovereign nation, the anti-collective, pro-individual right people like you and I, other than those liberals who like to listen to me because you hate me and like to troll me, this could be a really interesting 3 months. In addition, on the international front, have you heard anything about Israel? No, you haven't, because you know what? Israel has so far been unable to form a government, which is kind of scary, because Israel needs to be functioning. Its intelligence services need to be functioning. It needs a strong hand at the wheel. And it is surrounded by enemies. But the elections, where the left pulled kind of the same crap they did with Trump, they manufactured illegitimate charges against Netanyahu. And because the elections are quick over there, it's not like we have here where they gear up, you know, a year and a half in advance. When there's an election called in one of these parliamentary countries, it's, you know, like in 60 or 90 days. I mean, you don't have this long, drawn-out campaign season. And one bad thing that happens, you don't have time to recover. Trudeau has found that out with these blackface and other scandals that have arisen. There was only a 30-day window from the time the election was called to the time the Canadians are having the election. That's not a lot of time to recover from something. The same thing happened with Netanyahu. In his case, they accused him of bribery and, you know, all sorts of... I mean, it's like Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats here with Trump. And he didn't have time to fully recover. And although he won, quote-unquote, by like one seat in the parliament, that's not enough to run the Israeli government. And to run a government, Canada, in the UK, Israel, when you have a parliament, then you have to cobble together a bunch of small groups that may have 5 or 10 members to form a working majority. And of course, each of these groups have their own ideas, which is why they're not part of the mainstream political parties, and they extract a price for being part of your governing coalition. So keep your eyes on Israel, and let's see what happens over there, because that's that's kind of a big deal for us. It's as big a deal in terms of allies, maybe a bigger deal in terms of allies, as are what's happening with the Kurds. Which, once again, I'll repeat like it did last week, and I hope I'm wrong. I just don't think that was a good move. I think it was probably Trump's worst move as president. Worst move as president. Now, Judicial Watch, our buddies. These guys are unbelievable. You know, Jay Sekulow and Tom Fitton and their staff, they are just, they are a right-wing, pro-Constitution thorn in the side of every left-leaning judge, group, deep state bureaucracy. I mean, they have only one speed, charge. I mean, the more I watch these guys, the more impressed I am. And they get the goods. They win lawsuits. I mean, like 98% of them. It's just unbelievable. And they get documents which people have said don't exist. We're forever lost. And they get them. They get them. And they're willing to, they're like bulldogs, man. They get a hold of your leg. They're not letting go until they get their pound of flesh. I can't tell you what great respect I have for these people. Send them some money. They work entirely on contributions. They work tirelessly on behalf of America, and they work courageously on the behalf of you and me and our families and our rights. They rock. Let me tell you what they've done just literally in the last 2 weeks. Number one, they filed, because nobody in Congress has the guts to do it, a formal ethics complaint against Representative Ilhan Omar. Ugh. You talk about... Donald Trump was right on. She is despicable, anti-American, and she needs to go back to wherever she came from. To think that we brought her over, took money out of our pockets, educated her, saved her life, fed her, put a roof over her head, and she repays us with treasonous treachery and a breach. 17 different felonies right now are not, unfortunately, are not, have not yet been indicted, but are pending. Just to give you an idea, here, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let me flip to the page, because I really have to almost read it to you so that you can believe it. There is, man, where is it? All right, here we go, page 4. Yeah, you'll love this. Representative Omar, this is a quote. Representative Omar's potential crimes far exceed perjurious statements made in a Minnesota court filing. Her conduct may include immigration fraud. It appears that she married her brother in order to assist his immigration to the United States from the United Kingdom. The same immigration fraud scheme may have aided Mr. Elmy, this is her first husband, who she divorced to marry her brother to get him into the country, who she then divorced and married her, you kind of got the... To assist Mr. Elmy in obtaining federally backed student loans when he was attending North Dakota State University. Mr. Elmy and Representative Omar simultaneously attended North Dakota State University and may have derived illicit benefits predicated on the immigration fraud scheme. Quote, the state of Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board has already determined that Representative Omar violated state campaign finance laws for improper use of campaign funds. She was forced to reimburse her campaign thousands of dollars. More significantly, the board discovered that the federal tax returns, you guys will love this, submitted by Representative Omar for 2014 and 2015 were filed as joint tax returns with a man who was not her husband, named Ahmed Hirsi, while she was actually married to her brother, Ahmed Elmy. Can you make this stuff up? I don't think you can make this stuff up. Let me continue. Quote, under federal law, specifically 26 U.S. Code 7206.1, any person who willfully makes and subscribes any return statement or other document which contains or is verified by a written declaration that is made under the penalties of perjury, and which he does not believe to be true and correct to every material fact, shall be guilty of a felony, and upon conviction thereof shall be fined not more than $100,000, along with $500,000 in the case of a corporation, or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both, together with all the costs of prosecution. Yeah, I can go on, but I think you got, this is all coming out because of Judicial Watch. Otherwise, nobody would know this stuff. There's also one reporter that's been working on, doing a fabulous job. In addition, a federal judge granted Judicial Watch 7 additional depositions, 3 interrogatories, and 4 document requests on Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails. Yes, the emails have not gone away yet, including the Benghazi emails. And they uncovered a bunch of stuff. There's a guy by the name, do you remember the name Newland? She was like a mucky muck, and you often saw her on TV during the Obama years talking about Hillary was such a great Secretary of State. Well, it now seems that Newland and another guy at Hillary's State Department, Weiner, one of which is still there, believe it or not, were actually instrumental in, number one, blocking the investigation by the IGs. And the, you know, the investigation that wasn't by the FBI, from information relating to Hillary's server. And the State Department, under William Barr, conducted its own review, finally, and they just came out with their findings yesterday. I mean, this is like, you know, what, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years after she did this stuff? It makes you want to retch. And they found at least, this doesn't count the 33,000 emails that were deleted, which now it appears, why don't we say it was directed by the State Department under Hillary Clinton? It's just a sordid, nasty, dirty, corrupt, treasonous trail. This woman is poison. And she has the cojones, which I think might be proper in her case. She has the cojones to accuse Gabby, the Congress lady from Hawaii, who served in the United States military, unlike Bill Clinton, of being a Russian plant. Of being a Russian. I mean, wow. It's just wow. Anyway, the State Department has concluded its review, and guess what it found? It found 586 instances of Hillary improperly disclosing, or her staff, improperly disclosing classified top secret and ultra secret materials. Of course, there are still holdovers from the Obama and Clinton years. So they also decided that they could not assign blame as to who really did this, who was responsible. They could not assign blame in 486 of those instances, which leaves, by my math, at least 100 felonies out there, all of which go to the heart of national security. Yet Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, who was in the thick of it, and Barack Obama, who participated in her illegal server, talk about Trump's discussion with the Ukraine president concerning the previous administration, that is, Clinton, Biden, and Obama's corruption, to be detrimental to national security. I mean, it's really the circular motion of this treachery and this hypocrisy is absolutely breathtaking. And that the press who I assume have at least one living brain cell, take this up, therefore purposely, because there's no way you could believe what you're spewing. And don't bring this up. And I'm stuttering here. I don't often stutter. But I think many of you think as I do. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, JW has now uncovered a bunch of stuff. Number one, that this Newland gal and this Weiner guy were instrumental in blocking a proper inquiry into all this treasonous activity by Hillary et al. So, you know, remember, this is all in the last 2 weeks. And I'm only giving you a portion of it. These guys have just, they've probably filed 15 lawsuits in the last 2 weeks trying to get information that nobody else can get, which they always seem to get. I love these guys. Love them. Love them. Here's the Newland thing. In December 2018, Judicial Watch released documents revealing that Newland was involved in the Obama State Department's urgent gathering of classified Russia investigation information and disseminating it to members of Congress within hours of Donald Trump's taking office. Judicial Watch recently released 41 pages of documents from the State Department revealing that Weiner, this is the other guy, played a key role in facilitating Steele. Remember, he's the guy who wrote. He's the guy who was paid by Hillary Clinton via her law firm to go to Russia to get a bunch of crap, to put it in a dossier to fuel this entire insurance policy, as Strzok and Lisa Page termed it, either to stop Trump's election or to undermine and perhaps overturn his presidency. Weiner played a key role in facilitating Steele's access to other top government officials and prominent international business executives. Weiner was even approached by a movie producer about making a movie about the Russiagate targeting of President Trump. Weiner was implicated in working with Steele and Clinton associate Sidney Blumenthal to circulate the anti-Trump dossier. This is all coming out because of Judicial Watch, folks. And you haven't heard anything about it. I guarantee you haven't heard a peep from any other media source at all. This is big stuff. The only thing we can hope is that Bill Barr and his pit bull start raining down indictments like heavy hail out of a monster thunderstorm real soon. I mean, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. They're also suing a bunch of sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, and sanctuary counties. They put out a whole report just this last week. I think the date of this was it's October 2019, so I mean it's like right now. Talking about how many criminal aliens are released by sanctuary cities that then go on to commit violent crimes. We're talking about armed robbery, assault, a wife beating, rape, murder. And the figures are staggering. They had an example in their most recent newsletter of one guy who was arrested 10 times. This illegal alien, 10 times for violent, felonious crimes, not turned over to ICE, instead released again back in the community only to perpetrate yet another crime, another injury to an American citizen. And they have, and it's thousands, and they're getting to the bottom of it. They're getting documents from a bunch of places. Then they sued the FBI because they found out that, I'll give you the headline, FBI risks public safety by losing track of foreign criminal informants it brings into the U.S. You know, the FBI. Look, there's a lot of men and women at the FBI, the everyday workers, the guys who pound the pavement, who I am positive are hardworking. law enforcing, dedicated to the rule of law and the Constitution. But there is a very large number, or shall I say a very sizable number, of others in the FBI, from middle management on up. I have talked about this in other shows. You know, Obama appointed the poison at the top, and that poison sifted down via appointment and hiring of managers under the appointee, like Comey and Brennan and Clapper. And the rot, as Gabby would call it, goes deep. The FBI, folks, they've lost track of over 64 criminal, in some cases, murderous, I mean, extremely violent and dangerous criminals that they used a loophole in American immigration law to bring into the country to assist them with cases. These folks have disappeared off the face of the earth. They are in America, and the FBI doesn't know where they are. The Department of Homeland Security has lost track, and the Justice Department has lost track of hundreds of these criminal aliens that have been brought into the country, ostensibly to help them with court cases. There was an audit that was done by the IG of Homeland Security. In February 2018, the Department of Homeland, you're going to love this, the Department of Homeland Security identified more than 1,000, that's 1,000 people, folks, 1,000 deadly criminals who could not get into this country in any way, shape, or form except via this loophole used by the FBI. 1,000 Justice Department-sponsored foreign nationals for whom Homeland Security did not have current information. As of August 2018, Homeland Security was still seeking information regarding 665 sponsorships. Sponsorships are like when the FBI sponsors the informant to come into the country. You know, without Judicial Watch, you would never know this stuff. Never know this stuff. That's a whole bunch of interesting tidbits there for you. Now, let's go to, which I've been promising for 2 or 3 weeks. Let's begin, shall we say, because it's going to cover at least, I bet you I have segments on this voter fraud and what you can do, what role, and it's an important role that you can play in getting, I'm not sure you're going to get rid of it, but in greatly minimizing voter fraud in your precinct, in your voting district, in the coming elections. This is important stuff. I'm going to give you some facts and figures here, and you've heard the stories about Texas finding 95,000 illegal aliens that voted in the last election. Remember that Ted Cruz won his Senate seat by far less than that, so you can see what a big impact this stuff has on elections. And of course the Democrats know it, rub their hands, and in their anti-American, anti-Constitution, and anti-you and me, anti-American way, encourage it. So, contrary to the claims of Obama, you know, when he moved his lips he was lying, fraud, incompetence, intimidation, and inaccurate voter registrations do exist, folks. The consequences are alarming. Let me underline the word alarming. There was a study done while Obama was still president, in the latter part of his presidency, by Pew Center, who is, that's not a left, that's not a right-wing group, folks. Not a right-wing group. They researched 24 million voter registration records in the United States, and 1 in 8 of those, I want you to think about that, 1 in 8, We're talking about like 13 to 14% of all voter registrations in this 24 million sample that they looked at. There's like 170 million or 180 million registered voters in the United States. Out of 24 million in the sample, 2.8 million of 24 million of the people that were supposedly registered and valid voters were registered in two or more states. Another 1.8 million, another, folks, this makes it 4.6 million people of this 24 million person sample. Just a fraction of the total voting population in the United States. 1.8 million of those people were dead. That's right. 1.8 million dead voters out of the 24 million voter sample. Now, I want you to think about all the elections of the last 30 years. How many elections do you know of were won by 1.8 million votes or 2.4 million votes or 4.2 million votes? The number of faulty registrations that Pew found in their sampling of 24 million voter registrations? How many elections were won by 13% or more? Let me ask the question in reverse. How many elections were won by way less than 13%? Do you see what a drastic effect this can have on elections in the United States, and therefore the Constitution, and therefore the judiciary, on down the line? This is a huge problem. President Trump was exactly right when he said there were 5 million illegal votes cast for Hillary Clinton. And that doesn't count the estimated 10.2 million votes that Google and the other big tech giants literally manipulated into not voting for Trump or voting for Hillary. That's the difference of 15 million votes, folks. And that's just based on a 24 million vote sample by Pew. Now, that should be enough to scare the living daylights out of you. The living daylights. There was another study in 2014 by political scientists who specialized in this from Old Dominion University. Not as left-wing as some, but still left-wing university. They polled a huge sample of foreign nationals residing in the United States lawfully and unlawfully. In other words, legal aliens with their visas or green cards and illegal aliens. And this is what they found. 14% of those foreign nationals, 14%, were registered to vote in United States elections. I want you to think about the numbers I just gave you. In the first sampling of registered voters, not counting illegal aliens, just counting people registered in more than one location to vote, or people who are dead and still on the voter rolls, meaning somebody else can fraudulently go and kind of vote their name, that was 4.2 million out of 24 million sample. This other study by Old Dominion says that 14% of the illegal and legal aliens in this country are illegally registered to vote. You put those two numbers together, extrapolating the 24 million sample over the entire population. That means that 27%, roughly, of the American electorate is illegally registered to vote. That's 27%, folks. I want you to think about that. And yes, yes, Ms. Producer, the percentage of illegal aliens is a slightly smaller proportionate sampling of the total voting population, because illegal and legal aliens, although a huge number of people, is far less than the total electorate. You're correct. So I'll tell you what, to be ultra conservative, I'm going to cut it in half. 7%, which if you add to the other 13% in the original study I gave you, means 20% of the United States voting, I want to say voting population, 20% of the voting registrations of the voters registered to vote in the United States are, in one shape or form, illegally registered or fraudulently registered to vote. 20%. That is an astronomical number. If you multiply that 20%, even if I'm 5% off, I mean, do whatever math you want. If you multiply that 20% over the entire estimated 180 million registered voters in the country, that is 36 million votes. Now, if you don't think that's a scary friggin' number, then you need to go join the Democratic Party and drink their Kool-Aid. That's all I can tell you. It is downright petrifying. And, of course, the Democrats love it, because they love what is not good for America, because they definitely don't love this country. Let me give you some other scary, scary statistics. That Old Dominion study said that 6.4% of these illegal aliens voted in 2008. 2.2% voted in 2010. This is enough, literally, to switch entire elections and the history and destiny of this country and its citizens. That means you and me and our families. They interpolated, when they found these results, they kept going, much to their credit. I'm quoting, hundreds of thousands of non-citizens may have voted in federal elections. Quote, it is a realistic possibility that American elections were altered by the illegal votes of non-citizens. For example, there is reason to believe non-citizen voting changed one state's electoral college votes in 2008, delivering North Carolina to Obama, and that non-citizen votes have also led to Democratic victories in congressional races, including a critical 2008 Senate race that delivered for Democrats a 60-vote filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. And we all know what they did with that, folks. All sorts of nasty things, including Obamacare. And this was done via illegal aliens voting, which ought to get you on your high horse about immigration, about voter ID, about cleaning up voter rolls, which Judicial Watch is heavily involved in, and about immigration control. In fact, it better get you on your high horse to vote for Donald Trump and not vote for any Democrat that would want to continue and expand the alarming numbers I just gave you, because they are alarming. They are petrifying. Petrifying. They kept going on this study. You'll love this. I quote, aside from voting, non-citizens are also registering at an alarming rate. In the 2016 Election Administration Voting Survey, Ohio, Delaware, Nevada, Wyoming, Oregon, Colorado, Florida, Texas, and Arizona reported to the Federal Election Assistance Commission the cancellation of over 1,500 registrations due to non-citizen status. This is just a tiny fraction that have been caught, folks. Virginia has canceled 3,398 registrations due to non-citizen status. There's an ongoing lawsuit by Judicial Watch, by the way, against Maryland for election-related documents. Over 4,000 registrations were canceled for belonging to non-citizens. The Government Accountability Office found that perhaps 3% of 30,000 persons called for jury duty from voter registration rolls in a single U.S. district court were not U.S. citizens. Wow. Wow. There was another study done. Hundreds of U.S. counties found that there are more registered voters than there are citizens old enough to vote within the county. Think about that. There are more registered voters than there exist citizens old enough to vote within the county. Judicial Watch itself did an investigation, 2017, and it found that, I quote, the number of voter registrations exceeded the number of citizens over the age of 18 in 462 United States counties. Wow. Just wow. In other words, I continue the quote, in other words, those counties' registration rates exceeded 100% of the population eligible to register. Judicial Watch found that 15 U.S. counties, listen to this one, reported more voter registrations than their total populations, including minors and non-citizens. But there's no voter fraud out there, folks. We don't need a voter ID. Mm-mm-mm. That's just suppression of the vote. It is suppression of the vote. It's suppression of the illegal, double-counted, non-citizen, and fraudulent votes by people who have illegally, fraudulently, and feloniously registered to vote under a number of different circumstances. Now, if those figures that I just gave you from three incredibly reliable sources, only one of them, shall we say, right or left leaning, that would be Judicial Watch. The rest, the others, totally, I mean, if anything, left leaning. If those numbers do not scare the hell out of you, I just don't know what will. Which leads us to the next part here, and this is what I'm going to wrap up with, because we're going to go into it in way more detail with a whole nother set of absolutely petrifying facts and figures next week. But I mean, what I gave you this morning, if you're not shaking your head, if your jaw is not dragging on the table as you shake your head, with your eyes kind of drooped out over your nose, then, wow. I mean, what possibly can get you motivated? Here are the things. Here are the things you can do. You can hound the living hell out of your state representatives, you know, at the state level, and your congressional representatives at the federal level, to get and force state, local, you know, get your local under control, get your county under control, get your state under control, work on the federal government. Not that that's ever going to happen with Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi running the House. But you can start it. You can start the process. You can raise awareness. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Share these statistics with them. only a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of America knows what I just told you. They don't have a clue. And of course, the press is going to suppress it because they're dishonest whackballs. And the Democrats sure as hell aren't going to say it because they love it. The best weapon that you can have in something like this is knowledge. Give this knowledge to your friends and coworkers. Get them involved. And next week I'm going to tell you exactly how they can get involved. This morning I'm just going to give you a really, really, really quick overview so that I can kind of get right into it next week. Here's nine things actually, and that is get your representatives going on voter ID laws. Voter ID laws work. That's why the left hates them. The next thing you can do, become a poll worker. This is somebody who actually works within the election under the county supervisor, however the local folks have it organized, and you are sitting at the table and you're checking off the names and you're checking IDs or you're checking addresses, you're cross-checking, you're making sure, you know, if it's in a small community, you know the person. I mean, when I go down to vote, I have to sign everything and all that kind of stuff. And I have to show an ID. But they know me. They know me. They know I am who I am. They know I am who I say I am. They know I'm a United States citizen that lives in Wyoming. I know these people. Think about what it's like in a big city where you don't know these people, where it could be anybody, and it is, obviously, with these studies, walking off the street. So you can become a poll worker, actually work within the mechanics of the election on election day. And there's training and all sorts of stuff, and you get to watch the ballot boxes and you're an integral part of the election process. Number two, you become a poll watcher. Now, this is not like a poll worker. You're not sitting at the table getting people signed in and checking this and checking that and yada yada yada. Okay, you are the eyes and ears of America at the polling place. You are searching for anything, and you are watching for anything that is out of the ordinary, like somebody walking up to the sign-in table to get their ballot sheet or whatever. Once again, every local jurisdiction is different. And they take a piece of paper out of their pocket and read their address. I'm Joe Blow from 22 Apple Street. No, I don't think so. I think you're probably voting for somebody who's dead. Or you're probably an illegal alien. Or you're probably registered in more than one place to vote. You're probably one of this study, one of that 20% of the electorate folks that I just told you about in those studies. As a poll watcher, you can report that to the county or district supervisor right then and there. And they will either be turned away or they will be given a provisional ballot that will not be counted unless they can prove their bona fides. That's a big deal. Just think about it. If you're a poll worker, particularly in a metropolitan area, and you raise the alarm over five people in the whole course of a 14-hour, whatever it is, election day, just five people. And let's say of the people I'm talking to, and hopefully other radio hosts and media people are talking about and to, if there's a million of you out at the various polling places, well, hell, if there's 500,000 of you out at the various polling places in thousands of counties and tens of thousands of towns and 50 states, on election day, and you each catch five people who ain't right, and you force them to at least not vote, but to vote on a provisional ballot, you have just changed 2.5 million, or prevented 2.5 million fraudulent votes. Think about it. 2.5 million votes. How many elections, folks, are lost, are won or lost on way less than that at the federal level? Way less. And if you have 100 million people voting, and I hope it's more, 100 million people voting on November 3rd, 2020, and you catch 2.5 million illegal votes, you poll watchers, that's 2.5%. Now, you think about how many elections in the United States of America are won or lost on less than 1%. It's a really big deal. And you should dedicate a day of your life for your country. Short and simple. I'm going to go into the details on these various positions next week. I think you'll find it fascinating. This is the time to be contacting your election board, your election supervisor, your county supervisor, your party affiliate. If you are a Republican or a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you can contact your county or state Republican Party. They can put you in touch with poll watchers, the outfit that trains poll watchers and the outfit that trains poll workers and all that kind of stuff. And you should do it. You should absolutely do it and get other people to do it too. Another thing you can do, you can perform voter registration research. Now, this is not for everybody because it's tedious. But this is when you cross-match the information on a registration form with reality and you find that the address is a vacant lot. Or you find that Betty Lou died 22 years ago. So she obviously can't be registered 2 years ago to vote. And I'm going to go over that with you next week, too. But I will tell you, let me give you, I thought I had some stats here. It's a pretty phenomenal number of bad registrations that are turned up by voter registration research. You folks can all speak out at election board hearings and local precinct sessions. You can write letters to the editors and opinion editorials to get the word out, like the information I'm giving you this morning. You know, listen to this show again. Write down these facts and figures. Send a letter to the editor of your paper so that other people will read the facts and figures. Get the word out. Information, knowledge. Be active in social networking. Take the numbers, blast this show out. If you want to blast this show out, take the numbers that I just gave you, put it in a 2-paragraph post on Facebook or LinkedIn and blast it out. And have your friends blast it out, or your fans if you have a fan page. You can call into radio talk shows. I haven't done a talk portion of this show for probably a year and a half now, because there's so much news that if I do an interview, it's going to be partisan in 99% of the cases, and then I don't get to discuss all these things with you. But you can call into radio talk shows and say those numbers on air. If you can get on one of the big shows, I mean, my show is nice, you know, 3.5 million, whatever it is, listeners, all of whom I love, respect, and they're in all 50 states and I think like 19 foreign countries or more. That's great. But I mean, you know, Sean Hannity has like 17 million listeners. Rush Limbaugh has like 20 million listeners. Man, if you can get a phone call on those and make it short and concise and pop those figures out on the numbers I just gave you on these studies, I mean, you've reached a lot of people. You've opened a lot of eyes. A whole lot of eyes. You can create your own blog, or you can blog on other sites. And yes, you can make a difference. Oh, here's this voter. Here's the voter registration research fact and figure. I'm going to give you more next week. In Montgomery County, Maryland, volunteers meticulously combed through the voter registration rolls and reported to state election officials 5,400 irregularities in the 7,000 records examined. I want you to think about that. We're talking about 80% of the voter registrations that were audited by volunteers had irregularities. Wow. How scary is that? Organizations you can contact on this, I'm going to go over this again with you next week. You can contact Judicial Watch. Telephone 1-888-593-8442. Toll free. That's 1-888-593-8442. Their fax number, 202-646-5199. Judicial Watch fax, 202-646-5199. The American Civil Rights Union, and they have a Voting Integrity Institute, and they're very, very, very good on this. Alexandria, Virginia, telephone 1-877-730-2278. Their website is www.theacru.org. Judicial Watch, by the way, is judicialwatch.org. And then the Public Interest Legal Foundation, they're tigers on this voter fraud stuff. They're great. And you might have seen their kind of a stocky, heavyset fellow, true American patriot, was with the DOJ, quit in disgust under Lynch when he saw all the corruption. The Public Interest Legal Foundation in Indianapolis, Indiana, 317-203-5599. That's the Public Interest Legal Foundation, 317-203-5599. Their website, publicinterestlegal.org. There's three places you can call right now and start getting involved, folks. And you can call your state party also. But I exhort you, I cajole you, I extol you to get involved. You need to be involved with sending money. Look for those 5X contributions where your money really counts. You send in $25, you've contributed $150 to Trump or to some other candidate or to the Republican Congressional Committee or the Republican Senate Committee. I mean, it's a lot of bang for your buck. If you contribute just $300 or $400 between now and November 20th on those 5X matching plans, you've raised $2,000 for these candidates. That's a bunch of dough. You can do one or more of the 8 things I just gave you, which I'm going to go into more detail next week. You can call these other outfits and get recommendations and contacts from them. You can volunteer your time on election day. You can make sure that every person you know, your family, your friends, your coworkers, and every person they know gets to the polls. While any victory will be nice in November 2020, if you want to send these anti-American, treasonous, traitorous, viperous, deceitful, anti-American, anti-Constitution, anti-family, anti-freedom, anti-Second Amendment left a message, it's not going to be enough just to win. They have to be crushed at the polls in November 2020. Crushed, folks. I mean, it has to be a landslide of epic proportions. And it can be. But only if you put your oar in the water and start rowing. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Think about what I've said. Get motivated. Get going. Time is now short. And November 3rd, 2020, there is no tomorrow after that date.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.